Johnson here, host of the official Liberty A-League podcast on the Keep Up Audio Network, bringing you a special taste today of the great work being done on Dubzone. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Dubzone, it is the A-League's new match day show that airs every Saturday from 2:45pm on 10play and our socials, giving Liberty A-League fans unprecedented access to engage directly with the stars of the program through social media discussion while broadcasting all of the different games that are played simultaneously. That's right, multiple games at the same time and discussion that you can be a part of. Throughout the broadcast each week, a variety of guests join our weekly expert panel to discuss all of the latest talking points and match day discussions in the Liberty A-League and world football. Today you're going to hear from newly appointed Central Coast Mariners coach Emily Husband, Sydney FC captain Natalie Tobin, Melbourne City forward Holly McNamara, and Canberra United winger Nikki Flannery.
Emily Husband, speaking of the devil, can join us right now. She was announced this week as the inaugural coach of the Central Coast Mariners. She'll remain head coach of Sydney University for a little while as well as she builds out that roster. And she's been good enough to join us now. Emily, congratulations to begin with. We're so excited to have you as part of the Liberty A-League.
Thank you. I'm really excited for the opportunity.
We've just been talking a little bit about your journey, starting as a player for Leeds United and moving through your coaching journey in the US. We'd love you to give us a little bit of a rundown as well about your footballing pathway and what has led you into this role.
Yeah, so like just every other kid, you know, was in grassroots football. And then as I sort of got older, I was fortunate enough to trial for a couple of clubs and ended up playing for Huddersfield Town for a little while, and then sort of progressed on from there and went to Leeds. And then I was looking at the University of Texas at Brownsville, where I spent 4 years and graduated after featuring in the national tournament. And it was a wonderful experience. And then came back and, had a couple of appearances for it was a really, really great experience. Playing, I think that's probably what set me up for, ultimately my passion that came into coaching.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there has been a goal in Canberra, and it is a first A-League women's goal for Katie Bowler, the 20-year-old, so it is now Canberra 2, Adelaide 1. We will delve into a potential Adelaide comeback a little bit further, but sorry to interrupt.
Not at all. Emily, it's awesome to have you here, and we look forward to calling Central Coast Mariners goals when they join the Liberty A-League next season. In your role at the moment with Sydney University as head coach in the New South Wales NPL, how are you going to juggle that as you start to build out the Central Coast Mariners roster? And are there some Sydney Uni girls sending you the odd message already going, do you know what? This is a really good pathway. Look at what West United have done. Maybe we should do some of that here.
Yeah, absolutely. Exciting time to be a part of football, not just in the Central Coast, but obviously at Sydney University as well. Obviously, juggling the two for the time, is going to be challenging, but, I managed my time well across multiple jobs for the last few years. So, I have no doubt that we'll manage to balance it quite well. But obviously, I've worked with some fantastic players at Sydney University, and I look to want to, continue some of those on.
As far as your squad-building philosophy, will you be targeting certain internationals? I mean, there's been a lot said about Americans that have come to the A-League Women's but have all gone back to the NWSL before the end of the season. Other clubs, Sydney with Madison Haley, Western United with their American players have signed players that were fringe players that could play the whole year. Do you already have the feelers out? Will you look to lean on the UK? What is actually the international strategy as far as the Mariners' re-entry?
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of out there, concerns to the Women's A-League at the moment. A lot of clubs do go to the sort of US market, obviously due to the fact that the seasons align in a way. But I think obviously as the A-League stretches out and we get more teams in and the league goes for longer, I think, we need to start opening the market up. Other countries that might suit us a little bit better, you look at some of the Asian countries doing really, really well at the moment, and that might be, something that needs unlocking and looking into.
We've seen expansion teams come in at polar opposite ends of the ladder. Wellington has come in, they're probably going to finish last for 2 years in a row. Western's come in, they've come in at the top, they're going to be finishing either at or near the top of the table. It can go either way. What building blocks will you put in place to give the Mariners the best possible chance of success?
I think, building a with, you know, internationals in there that you know, through your spine and sort of complementing that with good strong players from not just the NPL in New South Wales but across the country. I think again there's a lot of players that sort of get overlooked, and I think there's a lot of potential out there to sort of build a really, really strong. And you know, and like I said, you know, we want to look to be from the very, very beginning, and ultimately I want to build what around players that are ready to compete and that are, you know, what want to be part of that process.
Emily, I'd love to know how you would describe the coaching culture in Australia. What makes it unique, and what qualities do you feel that you've brought that has allowed you to excel in this area?
I think, you know, look, since I've been here in 2 years, I've gone through different types of coach education and things like that. And, you know, it's great to see how the FA are trying to implement different things, and that's changed over the course of the last few years. Certainly taken huge parts of that. But personally, I think the adaptation comes from, you know, watching the game and growing with it as a kid. And sort of you take things on board in, you know, from every single game, and you recognise things, and for me that what it inspires something in my mind, and that's what how I look to build style of play. You know, it's kind of taking little bits and pieces from everywhere that you've been and all the experiences that you've had that ultimately builds, you know, what it is that you how you want to play and playing style and playing philosophy.
And the Mariners, I'm sure you know, have been out of the league since 2009, and now they're finally coming back. As far as your connection to the region, are you going to be based up there? And then also, what do you think it represents to that part of the country, given the England national team are going to be staying in Terrigal during the World Cup? It seems as though the appetite for women's football on the Central Coast is going to be at its absolute maximum just in time for the Mariners' re-entry into the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. I look to immerse myself in the culture at Central Coast as soon as I can do. Obviously, once I'm finished in the NPL with Sydney, I will be looking to move myself up there. They're a really community-based club, and you know, football's one of the biggest sports up there. I can only imagine that will continue to grow, especially with, you know, kids being able to aspire to having the World Cup in Australia this year, and it is a really exciting time to be not just in Central Coast but in Australia in preparation.
And when Australia inevitably plays England in the knockout rounds of the World Cup, who are you going to be supporting, Emily?
Isn't there once English always English, you know?
Fair enough. You are the European champions.
Yeah, I was going to back it up, you know, with the Euro, winning the Euros. I think it'd be absolutely phenomenal to see our women's team go on and win the Women's World Cup. You know, I truly think they've got a team to do it, and I think they're competitive in this World Cup to come.
Well, you've done well to have them based there on the Central Coast as well, so that you can support the Central Coast English side throughout that Women's World Cup as you do look to build that connection to the community and re-enter the Liberty A-League. We've already had a question from a viewer who wants to know whether you'll have a part of the F3 for the F3 derby, for the trophy when that match-up happens. How do you do that and rebuild that connection for the club with the local community?
I think it's, you know, base out there as well, and being a part of the community, and like I said, you know, making sure that we're showing up at schools and clinics on and inviting, you know, kids and families out of the club, because I think once you become part of something, you invest in it, and when you invest in it, you want to support it. So for me, that's one of the biggest things.
Emily, they're a passionate local community there on the coast. They cannot wait to have their women's side back. Thank you so much for joining us on Dub Zone today.
Thank you for having me.
Sydney FC take on Western United. 6 points separate the top two on the table at the moment. And Natalie Tobin, the captain of Sydney FC, has been good enough to join us on Dub Zone this afternoon. Nat, always good to see you. With 5 games to go in the regular season, does this one, this top of the table clash, does it feel like a real benchmark game?
Yeah, I think so. It's been kind of us and Western United at the top the whole season so far. So it'll be interesting tomorrow, kind of whoever gets the win if Western get the win, they'll go clear of us. And if we get the win, we will jump ahead. Well, not jump ahead because we have two games in hand, but if we win those other two games, then we can jump ahead of them.
Nat, you didn't have Jada Wyman when you played Western down in Melbourne. She's come back since. Just how difficult has it been organising that defence with two different voices? Because you had both Katie Offa and Talia Franco there. And since Jada's returned from injury, what's it been like to welcome her back into the team?
It's been so good having Jada back. I guess Jada's been at the team for a number of years now. And myself and Charlotte at the back are so used to playing with Jada's. She's in flying form. She's really found her feet since coming back from injury. So it's awesome to have her back. And, yeah, as I said, she's on fire at training and it'll be great to have her back tomorrow in the game.
We're looking at some of the highlights of the first head-to-head back in round 10 where Western won 2-0. What do you think went wrong in that game, Nat, and what is it from the review of playing Western specifically which you have to work on in order to beat them tomorrow?
Well, I think they've got, like, somewhat of a different team this time around. So it'll be, I think, a bit of a different game. To be fair, the ground that we played on down there was interesting. It was difficult to play on.
To be fair, Nat, at least they had a ground. The reason it was in Melbourne is you guys didn't have one.
That is true. If it was up to me, we'd be playing close to my home. But, you know, it's actually quite nice. It's worked out well because we have a run of home games at the end of the season. But, yeah, as I said, the ground was really tough to play on. And I think we didn't sort of know what to expect from Western. And we had a few changes in the team ourselves. As you mentioned before, Jada wasn't playing. I think it was kind of a few of the young girls, like Shay, it was her first game, stepping up in a really, I guess, tough and competitive game. So, it was nice to get exposure, but I think this time around we'll be a lot more switched on and ready for what comes at us.
Hi, Nat. It's Riley. How's the vibe been in the team this week, knowing the importance of this game and what it could potentially play with the top of the table and moving forward for the home run?
I think preparation's been pretty much the same as most other games. I guess you can put more emphasis on it because it is top of the table. But in saying that, I think getting people more nervous for it could work the other way. So, yeah, it's just been routine preparations. I think I did an article during the week with Sydney and I mentioned that I'm very excited. I love playing in the bigger games. So, I'm very keen and eager to play this week. And we've got a couple of our young Matildas out, but we've got also players coming back, like DA's come back from being with the Island team. So, yeah, it's nice and we'll be well prepared for tomorrow.
I know Ante keeps everyone guessing at the selection table, but Rachel Lowe coming off the bench last week and making a great impact. You had Rola Badawiya start for the first time in the Wellington game. Do you have any insights as to which levers Ante is going to pull and what he might have ready on game day? We know that the defence is quite settled, but it seems as though that midfield and attack has kept everyone guessing throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine, I think. He tries a few different things during the week at training, but ultimately he puts the starting lineup on the board of the change room, so we don't know it until we walk in. Just have to wait and see, not just you guys, but myself as well.
Hi, Nat. I love that, Ante, keeping everyone on the edge of their seats, us included. As the captain, I'm curious how you approach the team and each player and each important game, given this is Western United. It's obviously no joke. It's a big game that you guys have got tomorrow. As a captain, how do you approach that? Do you take any different action as a captain versus just being a player? What responsibility do you have towards the other players in that team as well heading into that game day?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one because I kind of reflect on it most weeks, I think. For example, last week the bus was late getting to the ground in Auckland. So I was quite stressed, but I try and remain calm, I suppose, to not let that reflect on other players. although in saying that, our team is quite chilled. so we weren't too worried. I guess it's going in there and just reminding people, don't be scared of making mistakes. Like, you got to rise up to the challenge of the big games. Don't shy away from them. Because even I look back, I reflect regularly and remember, you know, when I was 19, 20, and you have limited experience, it is quite difficult to kind of find your feet in a big game, mainly because you don't have that experience and, you know, you might get a hit quite big and then you're shaken and you're rattled. So I just kind of, yeah, remind them each game, don't shy away from the big challenges. As I said, with experience comes where you actually enjoy the big games. But we do have a very good young team, and I think just drawing on everyone's confidence will, it gets us through.
Yeah, it's very clear how close you all are. I see that a lot of the girls hang out on the weekends and have a great relationship, which is exactly what you'd want to see as a captain, I'm sure. But in addition to that, I was lucky to speak to Mackenzie Hawksby yesterday, and we touched on kind of the critical analysis and the punditry around the game, and we pointed out how playing for Sydney FC, I suppose that's something that comes with it, as you expect that accountability from fans to give results, because you are playing for the likes of Sydney FC. It's a big team to play for and a big badge of honour to have as well. Do you guys feel that pressure heading into each game around your performance for the fans?
I think so, but in saying that, we have been doing really well this whole season. I think we just have that winning mentality as a club. Like, you'll see it with the men's this year, they're not doing so well. And, you know, it is a club that, yeah, it's, we are meant to win. Like, and if you're not winning, then I guess fans are out of sorts. And, yeah, there is that expectation there. As I said, we know we can win. Like, it's as Ante says, it's a game against ourselves in a way. Like, if we turn up, we'll win. If we turn up at 50%, then, you know, we've just beaten ourselves. So that's always important to remember. And, you know, I think that really showed during games like against Melbourne Victory this year and Melbourne City. Like, we beat them both quite convincingly, and they're both up the top of the table with us. So, yeah, just got to channel that confidence and channel that during training each week. And I know in the lead up to those Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory games, we had really good weeks at training, and the same's happened this week in the lead up to the Western United game.
Nat, just a quick one. As we know, against Victory, it's the big blue. It's City versus City. Against Melbourne City, you've faced off in multiple grand finals, and it's always the two powerhouses going head-to-head. What does Sydney FC categorise Western United as? What do you see in them? Because they're still only new. They're still only building their identity. But how are Western United talked about among the Sydney FC players? Is it the start of a budding rivalry?
I mean, yes. I would say so. I guess the rivalry is there with Victory and City as well, because we've played with a lot of those players before, like they're local girls. Whereas the Western United girls, I don't think I've played with any of them apart from, well, obviously Chloe was there, and then Carly Johnson was in our team last year. Yeah, I suppose it will end up being that top of the table rivalry in a way. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, I suppose. But they're doing really well, and even we can see it in just they obviously have a great team spirit, because they're winning games where they're down 1-0, then they come back to like 2-1. They're just kind of edging the other team in the last 10 minutes. So I think it just shows that they've got great camaraderie amongst the team, and they're willing to fight for each other, which is really special in any team. And I think their coach has obviously done a very good job gelling them together, which is quite difficult, I imagine, when you're a brand new team and have all these, you know, people coming from all, like there's a few Americans, NPL players, interstate. So yeah, he appears to have done a really good job at gelling them. So well done to him.
The next chapter in that rivalry will be written tomorrow. Very quickly, Nat, before we let you go, we've seen Courtney Vine in awesome form for the Matildas over the last couple of weeks. She's also played in a tournament-style competition, 3 games in quick succession, which is a new thing for her physically. Is she there? Is she ready to go? Will she be a part of the team tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Court came back from international duty and just, I think she had one session off and was straight back in. She's on fire, as she always is. She's such a legend. And, yeah, she deserves everything that comes her way. And, yeah, hope to see her in the World Cup squad.
Looking forward to seeing that speed on the edge tomorrow for Sydney FC. Enjoy that top of the table clash. Thank you so much for joining us on Dub Zone.
Thanks, guys.
Holly McNamara has been good enough to join us on Dub Zone. Holly, congrats on the return to the Liberty A-League. We were so stoked to see you run out there today and in a victorious side as well. What was it like for you, that comeback game after so long on the sidelines?
Oh, it was so good today. I had the most fun with all of the girls out there. It was a really good performance and we're happy with it.
Did it take some time? Obviously, you've been training and working hard on that comeback, but in terms of trusting your body, did it take a little bit of time for you to feel fully confident out there?
Yeah, of course. When you're off, you definitely need to get back into it and time to give a. I've had a lot of support. Everyone around me has been really good. All my friends, teammates, and especially support staff. The physios here at Melbourne City are different, so they've definitely helped me just ease back into it.
Holly, are you on a minutes plan? We saw you come off at halftime today, but I mean, in that half, you ripped it up. You're back to your best, which is awesome to see. But do you have a set number of minutes that you're going to be going on a plan to, or is it still just a coach's decision on the day and a matter of talking to you about how you're feeling?
I actually played 60 minutes, so thanks for noticing that, Sarah. yeah, so at the moment, it's just. Returned to play pool. That's been surgeons, my doctor, head physios at the club. So hopefully soon I'll find out what next week's going to look like, and then we'll see after that.
As far as the team performance, great result. Newcastle made you work for it, though. What does it say about your group that you were able to separate yourselves with those three late goals?
Yeah, of course it was a good performance for our girls. It was hot today. They worked hard. Newcastle aren't a bad squad. They're actually a very good squad who definitely make every team work for it. So they definitely made us work for it too. Good enough to get the goals in the end.
Hi, Holly. What's it like having Rojas back in amongst the group and what she brings to the field?
Yeah, she brings a lot, something different. As you can see today, she's something different to what we had before. So just getting to link up with all the different players on the pitch has been really good, and we've got a good squad.
You sure do, and we saw that absolutely in action today in Newcastle. Holly, thank you so much for joining us. Congrats on the comeback and the win today.
Thank you.
Let's head to McKellar Park now. Nikki Flannery from Canberra United has been good enough to join us after Canberra's 4-2 victory over Adelaide. Nikki, congrats on what was a remarkable game of football and a terrific performance from your side. How much confidence is your team playing with at the moment?
Honestly, thank you for having me on. It's just great to see all our hard to pay off. We obviously row, which is really rocked the boat. I think having four in a row now has really given ourselves into each game and not. I also just wanted to say a quick congratulations to Holly McNamara for her return to her academy.
As are we. It was an awesome performance from her and we love the love being shared across the teams. We just lost you a little bit there in your opening answer, but can I ask you about Michelle Heyman and her current form? A hat-trick today and such a leading part of this Canberra United side.
Isn't she incredible? I just honestly, sometimes I stand there and watch her in awe. Honestly, the most deserving player she gets on this season. Her header today was just unbelievable. She looked like she was flying. She's just enjoying her football, and for us it's really rubbing off on all the players around her, and it's just such a privilege to be able to play alongside her.
Nikki, what was the turning point after the 2-5-0 losses? Was there one team meeting? Was there one coach's address? Was it something a player said to the group? Where did it come from? Because it feels like it was a year ago now instead of 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, of course. I think for us, when we started to lose, we started to turn on our on ourselves individually in our own areas. And I think we just needed a wake-up call to be like, it's a me-not-I moment. We need to focus on the team and what we can do for the person next to us on the field. And I think it shows very evidently on the field that we all work very hard with each other and have each other's backs. So I think that's been a huge focus for us collectively. We're getting results at this point.
As far as your own personal performance, it's obviously been great to see you back in the A-League Women's after missing last season. Where are you at with your body? Do you feel as though you are back to 100%? Do you still feel as though you're building, or is this back to normal? Is this normal from now on?
I feel like you're always building, Tayo. I'd like to be a little bit in a better position, but I'm happy with the confidence that I'm getting. Today I'm a bit disappointed that I didn't put some sitters away, but you know, at the end of the day, we won as a team, and that's all that matters. I'm just going to keep building and take some confidence into the fall.
Nikki, we are loving what Canberra United are doing out there in the middle at the moment. Congrats on yet another victory. 4 in a row. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.
If you enjoy what you heard today, remember to tune in to Dub Zone every Saturday from 2:45 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time on 10Play and our socials. And to stay up to date with everything related to the Liberty A-League and all football, check out keepup.com.au or download the app and tune in to the official Liberty A-League podcast every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Campbell Johnson. Thanks for listening. And as always, enjoy the football. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice, look nice. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice. Yeah, we look nice, future looking nice, we don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future. Yeah, we look nice, future looking real nice, we don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future.